It's a Thursday. Enjoy it. It's as cool as it's going to get all freaking day long. 108, anywhere between 105 and 108, depending on where you live, is the expected temperature. Yes, Nathan?
I was going to ask you a golf question.
Oh, okay.
You gave me a... You were going to do weather.
Yeah, I was just throwing out
weather. Update. Kind of it's 7:05. It's time for Dave's unsponsored weather update.
No, that's fine. Right. I was going to point out that
it's
too hot for golf.
That's what I'm talking about. Snarky. It's snarky.
Right.
I thought you got all that out of your system in the first hour.
Hey, blast on through
Is my snark have a limit on it? I am awake.
Chad Mendes joins us at 8:30. His first comment since receiving a 2-year suspension from the UFC. He'll come on this program and explain himself. I don't know how else to put that.
Explain yourself, young man.
We are doing the crawl through the AFC West all week long. Dave Scretta will represent the Chiefs today. Mm-hmm. He is the Chiefs AP reporter, and the Oakland Raiders will be our subject tomorrow as we finish out the week. Give me a golf question, though.
Let's see. So what I was looking at here is at the leaderboard right now. You've got the Argentine Emiliano Grillo atop the board. Through the front nine, he's 3 under, okay?
Okay.
So my question to you is, on a standard par 72 golf course, if you were to shoot 3 under on the front nine, so you turn in a 33...
I'd go home.
What are you shooting on the back?
I was going to say, I don't know, because I'd go home. if I shot 3 under on the first nine, I would go home. I'd find, oh, my God, my kid's sick.
Snort there.
Yeah, I would be gone. I wouldn't even try it. Are you kidding me? If I shot a 3 under, I'd really, at any point I've ever been under par, and I have been a couple times because, like,
maybe birdied the first hole and then everything else went down the hill.
Like, let's be clear. I've never been under par. I think the longest I've been under par on a golf course is, like, hole 3. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just because I got lucky and birdied 1 or 2 or maybe 3.
Okay. Is this a golf course or is it a miniature golf course?
I'm being serious. Whoa. I suck at golf, but you get lucky every once in a while. But then as soon as you're under par, even if I'm at par, even if I'm shooting even through 3, I'm already thinking about it now on the tee. Oh, my God. I can shoot even par. This is
You're
great.
You're, like, doing the math, thinking how great you are.
Yes.
That's the worst part about
golf.
And
then you end up shooting, like, a quadruple bogey
Always.
On the next
Absolutely.
Hole.
Absolutely. And then I visit with my good friend Shane Kapotamus, who shows up on the tee box at hole 4, and it is all over. So, yeah, I would I'd go home.
All right.
I would just leave and say, hey, I shot 3 under today. Ye freaking ha. Hey, the NBA Players Association did something I think is pretty damned awesome as they voted unanimously yesterday to give NBA players who have retired, who had at least 3 years of service time in the league, health insurance funded by the Players Association. Said Chris Paul, the president of the NBA Players Association, the game has never been more popular. All the players in our league today recognize we're only in this position because of the hard work and dedication of the men who came before us. It's important that we take care of our entire extended NBA family, and I'm proud of my fellow players for taking this unprecedented step to ensure the health and well-being of our predecessors. So what happens is that in the current proposal for insurance received, including deductibles and copays, is based on service time in the league with a minimum of 3 years. And the open enrollment will happen this fall, and coverage starts January 1st, 2017.
It's pretty fantastic, actually, because the minimum, right, is 3 years of service. So guys with 3 to 6 years of service will have a nice little medical plan. It will include, you know, the hospital and prescription drug coverage with kind of modest, they call it, quote, modest out-of-pocket for deductions and copays. But then if you have 7 to 9 years of service, it's a even lower out-of-pocket. And if you have 10 or more years of service, it's a lower out-of-pocket, and it's a whole family insurance policy. So it's like all of their children, their wife, like so on and so forth, their family or their spouse, whatever. I think it's kind of fantastic.
And if you look at, just to kind of put the numbers in perspective, starting in 2010 and going backwards, when you look at average career length, because this list I'm looking at goes all the way back to 47, you're looking at, in 2010, the average career length was a little over 6 years. Same in 2009. 2008, it was almost 7 years. Mm-hmm. 2007, 5. And then you go back 5, 6, 7. My point being, you go all the way back. You'd have to go all the way back. I'm trying to see when it was under 3. And honest to goodness,
this is a rookie contract.
You have to go back to 1968 when it was 2.26 to find an average career length that was under 3 years. So,
because the standard rookie contract now is three years.
Well, exactly.
So that's basically saying as long as you get, you know, drafted, you're under your rookie contract, whatever, you're going to have health insurance.
I think that the strongest of the big three, the strongest players union is Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has always had a phenomenally strong players union, whether it's, you know, Donald Fear led that union for a long, long time.
So, what about it? Why? Why do you think that? Does it have to do with the doping?
About everything they want. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's that and so many
Their
other
contracts
things.
Are insane. And then the NBA Players Association has always kind of been in the middle. And I think their biggest weakness that they've shown has been in strike situations. And that's not really the union's fault necessarily.
They didn't want to play.
It's the players' fault. Just they don't. The players have a hard time holding, like the Major League Baseball players.
They have a hard time holding out.
And you hear stories about legitimately players that make millions of dollars a year that are borrowing money from agents to make their mortgage payments during a strike. That's what happened last time. Baseball players missed a whole freaking season and barely batted an eye. And then you have the football union, which is the weakest
useless.
Of the three. So here's what I think is another interesting pivot off this story. The Players Association, the NBA, is now going to provide health insurance for all retired players 3 years or above. When you look at football, this is the sport by far more than the other two. You got guys scrambling their eggs upstairs. And it's not just the CTE. Let's remember, CTE has become the star of the show. But there's also missing kneecaps, hips that need replacing. You run into, and we do this a lot when we're doing events and stuff like that, where we'll have older NFL players, Raiders or Niners, come around, or just local guys that played elsewhere, and you see them, and most of them, hell, Mike Lamb used to work at this station. Mike went to USC and played in the NFL for a minute, and Mike is a big dude and one of the best guys I've ever known in my life, but watching him move around, God bless him, it's painful.
Well, It's not even like guys that have just played at the NFL level. Like, if you've played 4 years of college football, you've made already a huge impact on your body.
You've probably been concussed half a dozen times.
Because you've played 7 years, odds are, including high school already.
Well, yeah, and you redshirt a year in college, so that's a 5 year, you know. But I was in the ER on Monday morning, and it was pretty empty in there. But right towards the end, when I was leaving, there was a gentleman that came in, and he had like a knee brace on, older gentleman, a cane, and he goes in, and of course, like where I'm sitting, I can hear everything that's going on. He's coming in to the ER to see the doctor, because, and he starts in with the problems he's having with his knee and his leg because he played college football.
Right.
And it's like this, the guy's 50, 55 years old at this point.
And he's moving around.
And he's in the ER at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Monday because his football injuries from college are killing him.
It begs the question, and we can think about this during the break. If the NFL woke up tomorrow and said, starting in 2018, all contracts will be the same as baseball and basketball. In other words, if you sign a 5-year, $30 million deal, you're going to get paid 5 years and $30 million, not a penny less, unless you sell heroin to kids or something.
Right.
That's pretty much what it takes to not get paid in the NBA
or
baseball.
Or punch your fiance in the elevator or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. If you sign the contract, that's what you get paid, and we're going to insure our players. What I want to know is what effect, if any, that would have on the field. In the NFL. We'll take a break and explore that next. Chad Mendez at 8:30. We're going to talk Kansas City Chiefs with their AP reporter coming up at 8:05 as we roll through the AFC West. A lot of stuff to get to in the next couple hours, less than a couple hours. Jeez, the show's flying by on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHD. Thanks, Grant.
Yeah, I feel bad for Aaron a little bit.
A little bit.
I just have a feeling someday, if I'm ever fanboying around and I have a chance to see, because Aaron Rodgers shouted at me out. That's what Grant was referring to on his show.
Is he going to know?
That's what I'm saying. I'll go up and be like, hey, Aaron, thanks so much for the shout. I'd be like, who are you? I'm like, oh, I'm Carmichael Duke. Oh, yeah,
and then he's immediately going to be like, look, Dave, I don't want to talk about family issues.
He won't even do that. He'll do the fake phone ring thing and be like, oh, dude, I got to take over.
The best part about that is that you just did that. We're on radio, and he's like, yeah, he's going to, and he picks up his phone and puts it to his ear, and he's like, oh, yeah, I got to go.
I learned that trick from Grant, though. I learned the fake phone call thing. So now I know how to,
give your secrets away.
I think that one's one you can give away because no one's going to call you on it. Right. It's kind of like taking a bogus sick day at work. Like,
you would never.
My boss is in the other room
right now.
He's writing notes down.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but like everyone knows, like you take a sick day, it doesn't matter what the hell you're doing. It's nobody's business, right? So it's the same. By the way,
speaking of our boss,
are you really on a phone call? Like, come on, who's going to say that?
You know, a program director at a radio station has 500,000 things to worry about. What's this schedule? What's going on? Here's the sponsorship, this, that, whatever, all these shows and all that. This is how detail-oriented our guy is. I went to the coast a couple weeks ago, right? And so I took Thursday, Friday, and Monday off. Well, we filled out our time cards, and yes, we fill out time cards every other week. Filled out our time cards yesterday, and I put in instead of vacation on the time card for one of the days. I don't know if it was the Thursday or the Monday.
Scam.
Honest to God, didn't. And there's also, and I'm pretty detail oriented with my time cards because there's a place for comments. And I always, because I don't know who's reading them, so I'll write in something like, great show, or had this guy on. It was fan. I just write in the comments just to be a funny guy. So
here's to you, McGillicuddy.
So I get a call from him yesterday afternoon. He's like, hey, weren't you off Thursday, Friday, and Monday? I was like, yeah. He goes, you didn't put a vacation down for Thursday. You put in down. And part of me was genuinely taken aback. Like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I did not mean to do that. It wasn't intentional. And the other part of me is like, really? Are you paying you're paying attention that hard? I mean, that much detail?
Yes.
Who does that? That's why I could never, ever. That's one of 7 million reasons why I could never be in charge of anything. Everybody who worked for me would literally have like 8 vacation weeks a year probably because I would just sign off on the cards, turn them in, let everybody scam their vacation.
Yeah, well, if they were smart, I mean, they would know when to hand the time card to you. You'd be like scrolling through Twitter be like, oh, Dave's on his phone. Here, pass this off really fast.
If they were smart, they'd hand it to me first thing in the morning.
I would say, okay, get out of here. You have a line of people coming in at 5 in the morning to hand in their time card.
They don't even work till 1. They just show up at 5 a.m. We were talking about the Players Association in the NBA. They are now going to pay insurance for retired players 3 years or above that have 3 years of service in the NBA or above. Now, before we went to break, and, you know, I always have fun with the text line. There's good and bad text. This, I believe, is a good text. It's a great question. Nate, Katie, if somehow you knew at birth that your son could make it, or daughter, could make it to the NFL, would you let him play? Knowing the consequences their body would take.
Me personally, no.
You know they'll make the NFL.
Yeah.
You don't know if they'll be a superstar or what.
Here's the thing. There is like a little asterisk to this.
Uh-huh. A what?
An asterisk. Am I saying it wrong?
Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. One more time.
An asterisk? Asterisk.
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 No, you're putting an X at the end.
No, I'm not.
Is. So am I wrong?
This is where we get into like my serious country accent, and there's words that the letters like.
This is not an accent.
It is too. Asterisk. Right.
You're putting an X at the end.
It's not an X. It's an S.
All right, say it one more time.
Asterisk.
Okay, are we getting semantics? Maybe you're putting a CKS at the end?
Yes.
Okay, so it's still.
I love that she tries to pass it off as an accent.
That's right, it is. Okay, fine. Anyway.
We were hard on you yesterday. We're not going to do it today.
No, dude. You beat me senseless yesterday.
And that's a promo right there. Thank you, man. Asterisk. Like risk.
Asterisk.
The game. Okay, like you're taking a risk?
Asterisk.
You're taking a risk.
I can't say it.
Okay, so you're taking an asterisk. Go ahead.
Okay. If I knew they were going to be something like a long snapper. Or no, or like a kicker. Kickers have long careers; they don't get hurt a lot. Like something like that.
No, that's fair. That's fair. If you knew that they were going to have a lower impact,
yeah.
If they were going to be like,
if I knew they were going to be a backup quarterback to like Eli Manning or Tom Brady, you know, they're never going to be on the field.
Sure. So yeah, kick like or maybe. Something lower impact. But if they're going to be like one of the special teams, if they're going to be on kickoff coverage, or are there going to be anything
let's
else
be,
other than
let's be honest. My child's going to be like 5 million pounds and like a massive human being, you know?
Oh, I thought like, you were implying there, like
there's
you're
no
have a
chance that my child's not going to be like on the line, you know?
Well, that's true. Your child could be a tight end. I mean, they're tall.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a tight end, maybe a quarterback.
No, I think my kid's going to be beefy.
Why do you think that?
Because I know my family.
From the 916. It's I'm a
no, the 916.
From the 916.
I'm sorry, people. I can't speak.
We're getting about 7 of these texts right now, all the same. Jeez. It's asterisk, fam.
Fam. Is the question strictly, would you let your kid play?
Okay, Nate, you and your lovely bride-to-be are going to have, let's say you guys have a kid in a year. All right. And whoever your god or higher power is, or Gandalf, whoever it may be that you believe in, comes down to you and says, "Nathan, I am here to tell you that your son, Winifred, whatever hippie right. name you give him, is going to be an NFL player. Should you allow him to follow his path?" You know your kid will make the NFL. It's not a question of he might get cut or not. He's going to play in the NFL.
This is a simple yes or no decision on the day he's born. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Because what I can do from that, I've got plausible deniability now. I don't have to push the kid. I don't have to force him into football. All I have to do is let the kid live his life. If he chooses football, he's going to be a pro. If not, hey, my hands are clean. I'm going to have a healthy kid. He can be happy, whatever.
So taking that away, if you didn't know the kid was going to be in the NFL and your child showed an affinity for football, is there any part of you that would at least subconsciously try to steer him to other sports?
And I mean, there's a lot of factors involved in that. Part of it is that I know my gene pool, and it's like the exact opposite of Katie's. I wish someone had told me when I was 8, "Bro, you're built like a soccer player. Get off the football field." You know what I mean? Like, and I had a lot of fun playing
right.
football, but it's you know, if someone had told 8th grade me, even, because we didn't have Pop Warner. That's the other part of it is I didn't actually strap on pads and play real
football until
high school. So, and like that is the route that I would probably want my kid to take too, a little bit more, a little bit lower impact. But yeah, that's you know, I had a lot of fun doing it, but.
Well, and not to mention, too, honestly, in knowing you, I think you would have fit in a hell of a lot better. You should have been a soccer player.
Yeah, you should. You're so freaking fast.
Well, and I could see, like, Nate with a stupid
haircut.
With, like, the man bun with, like, the strings
oh,
of hair
man.
Hanging down.
No,
and
he'd have the man bun, and then underneath, like, when he puts his long hair up into the man bun, it would be some kind of,
like
crazy design shaved into it. Yeah. Because you just geek out when you see those football players.
They got the best hair on the planet.
What are those things that a lot of the long-haired players wear? They're like little rainbows, and they're shaped like rainbows.
Oh, dude, I used to have those.
The clip or whatever that they...
No, it's an actual headband. You can get them. Dude, I used to have dozens of those when I had
long hair. To keep your
hair
out of your face. See, I could see that. And the whole soccer, you know, dark beer and that kind of lifestyle. I think Nate would fit in very well as a soccer... I could see you as a professional soccer player.
Instead, poor,
pathetic
me.
Because Nate has zero BP, which BP is blow-up potential, right? You know how a lot of athletes, when they're done, like, just will blow up, right?
Yes.
Nate's the guy that when he finishes playing, he drops 20 pounds and can never find it again.
I'm going to laugh at our KHDK 2025 reunion when everyone shows up and Nate's, like, fat and bald.
I can't walk. Yeah, that, joint problems.
But that's the thing. It's like, if soccer players, they're always going to be like that.
Yes.
They're always going to be like that.
We got a break when we come back. Colin Kaepernick has been cleared to play. But could there be a third option coming up in the Niners quarterback race? We'll tell you who and why next.
Wow.
It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
You know,
just to finish up that thought, right? I've heard this song before. Mm-hmm. The Players Association, the NBA, and we've been following this story today, is granting insurance to anyone who had 3 years of service or longer. We applaud that. Awesome move. So we turn to the NFL, which has the weakest of the big three players associations. You only have partially guaranteed contracts. It's just the signing bonus is basically guaranteed money. You could sign a guy to a 4-year, $600 million contract with a $12 million of it guaranteed and cut him the next year. Whereas in baseball or football or basketball, you know, if you sign that guy to a contract, that guy's getting paid that contract. So the question we posed and kind of got away from was, what effect would it have, if any, on the field in the NFL if they did two things? Number one, same thing the Players Association did, which is health insurance for anyone who has 3 years eligibility or more in the league. Number two, if they guaranteed all contracts, no more of this signing bonus stuff or whatever. It's you sign a 4 year, $40 million deal, you're getting 4 years and $40 million. And I think we should get somebody smarter than us on the phone for this at some point. But I think the answer is, and disagree if you wish, that I don't know that the effect on the field necessarily would be different. I think GMs and franchises would be a lot more careful with their contracts. You might see an effect there. But it would certainly have a huge effect on the bottom line in the NFL. If I'm the Players Association, I'm saying, well, I don't care. You guys make billions a year. Help us out here.
I think you would see two completely different reactions, because my initial thought when I saw the NBA thing is, well, how long is it going to take the NFL to do this? Good on the NBA. Now it's the NFL's turn. But then I thought, you know what? If they instituted something like that in the NFL, where the average career span is what, like 3.5 years or something like that, what we would see if it was a 3 year thing is we would just see more guys getting cut and fewer veterans with jobs. Because
you
I think
that would make a difference.
I think that's what the NFL would, because that's how little faith I have in the NFL to actually take care of their players. Is I think what you would see is owners would, they wouldn't want to have to pay guys that had 3 years of service time, because if you're going to do that,
include the practice squad if you're going to do the NFL.
Probably not.
So my thing is, the difference between the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NFL is the sheer number of players on rosters. Like, it's a lot compared to your 15-man NBA roster. And so it's a far bigger financial undertaking for the league.
It's a far bigger, and no, there's no doubt, you have bigger rosters, you have more injuries, you have a lot more aftercare for an NFL player than you do an NBA player by far. And then, again, with those bigger rosters, now you have all these guaranteed contracts. There's no doubt it would be a huge hit on the NFL, but I think it's just a testament to how weak the NFL Players Association is, to where they don't just go, we don't care. When the next bargaining agreement comes up, we're going after guaranteed salaries.
And so would you like to see the NFL then, in that case, if you're going to guarantee salaries and not, are you talking about a true baseball model where there's no max contract?
Sure, let's go with that.
Okay, so you're talking about,
let's go
would have to eliminate the salary cap if you do that.
I'd say, well, let's explore, why not go with an NBA model and create a cap.
Okay, that's a little different thought process there.
That's probably what even if the NFL was going to consider it, I'm sure that would be part of the trade-off from the NFL, would say, okay, we'll do if we're going to do guaranteed salaries, we're going to have a cap, which means your players are going to make perhaps less as a group, and we're going to hold that. Now all of a sudden there's going to be, well, there wouldn't be less jobs, but you want guaranteed salaries, cool, then the average salary needs to come down. And that would be, I think, one of the main bargaining chips between sides.
It's just, I mean, you can look at the fact that, and this goes to a bigger picture, but look at the number of average everyday Americans that struggle to pay health insurance, right?
Sure.
It's a shame. It's sad. And then you look at a professional athlete who, even if they played for 3 years and made $6 million, you're trying to tell me that somewhere in there you can't plan for health insurance? Like,
you're talking about the player planning for it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see, and like, where I think it's a great thing that the NBA is doing this. There's also the flip side. It's like, okay, so if you're in the league for 10 years, that means that there was a long term, you know, your earning potential was very large. You're saying that after making, you know, because guys right now are signing 5 years, $80 million, like crazy things. You're saying that after making that kind of money, you can't afford health insurance
No, but why, when you can get the league to do it for you, when you can get your employer to cover it, what difference does it make?
Everyone has health insurance through their employer, but as soon as you, I don't know, like my dad who's retiring very soon from UPS, like he's been there for 30 years. They have health insurance after he retires. He maintains
UPS.
It.
Drivers
so,
are very well taken
sure.
care of.
Oh, man, their Teamsters union is fantastic.
It's the union.
Yeah, so it's the union. So you can look at it from a bunch of different ways. you know, my dad obviously didn't make $80 million over the course of his 30-year, you know, UPS career. Oh, very close. Yeah. And that's also a very physical job. You look at firefighters. There's a lot of professions where, you know, it's strenuous, dangerous with your body. My dad's had multiple surgeries, you know, so I don't know. It's good in the fact I think that they've done it, but I can also understand where people could potentially be like, really? Really, you're going to get
help on the side of the NFL.
You're like, that's get health insurance.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it is, though. Like, because yeah, I mean, it's right. Yeah, you've made plenty of money. Like, you should have been able to save some. But it's also by saying that you're saying like, hey, the NFL is entitled what to is that it? Money, and I'm always going to say, screw the NFL.
Well, I think,
yeah. $44 million.
I think that's actually that might be part of the answer is with all the stuff coming out about concussions and the NFL and people saying, listen, down the road, this sport is in a lot of trouble. If the NFL and the Players Association, who, by the way, the Players Association, the NFL says the average career length is about 3.3 years. The NFL claims it's about 6 years.
Tell
for players.
You who I believe.
But it's what is it? It's an average of 3 years after retirement that an NFL player goes bankrupt, and I think it's 5 years for an NBA player. Like, those are the last averages I heard,
and
like,
I
a couple years ago.
And I don't know that there's
ago.
Much the leagues can necessarily do or should have. See, that's a different thing. I don't know that they necessarily have a huge responsibility. I'd like to see more financial education given to athletes, and we'll ask athletes that question a lot.
They try.
They do try. They could do better, but they do
21
try.
21-year-olds are not real receptive to that.
That's the other thing. That goes back to that's into a deeper conversation where I've always felt like, regardless of your political leanings, can we all get together and agree that a mandatory class in high school should be credit and finance? I mean, really, can we all get together and agree that you should have to take a class in how to everything from how to balance a checkbook, which I know doesn't happen anymore, to what your credit score means, what the three repositories are, what the differences between mortgage insurance and credit card insurance. That to me just is logical that in high school when you can learn, you know, and I'm not ripping these, but you know, you can go from wood shop to this studies to that or whatever.
To ag.
So much vocational education. Like, why can't we do life skills?
They have a home economics or whatever. Mm-hmm. Why not have it? Just, you have to take 1 year in high school of finance so you can. I think a lot
you
of people
like,
don't
you
have
you can't
enough.
Throw that in with your driver's ed, health, sex ed class. That's mandatory, like, for all freshmen. You have to take it.
I don't think that's a political side.
It's a requirement. I'm telling you, like, when I was in ninth grade, our driver's ed health class was such a joke. We would literally watch a movie, like, every day because our teacher would just make something up as to how it was relevant. He would give us a quiz, and then before he graded the quiz, he would give us every answer to the quiz. It was like a three-question quiz. That was what we did for an entire year of driver's ed and health. We probably could have done a week or two on balancing a checkbook.
Not hard. 339-1140, 1-800-922-1140.
They don't have home ec or anything like that anymore. Which I think is...
Well, and they're cutting a lot of the auto and wood programs, too, unfortunately.
And music and all that.
And I know people want to say, like, oh, yeah, the music department at the high school that I went, it's gone. It's
I got to be honest with you, and I love music. I'm just saying. I would think, if at least for my kids, I'm just speaking as one dad, if I had a choice between my kids learning how to play the flute or my kids going to a credit and finance class, I'm going to go with credit and finance class.
I understand that.
No offense to music.
I absolutely understand that.
I played
that.
The flute.
But there's a lot of life skills that kids are not taught now. And a good friend of mine, her cousin, went into college a couple years ago, and she went up to U of O. And she did not know when she left, like, she had to sit down with her and teach her how to write a check. How to address an envelope. But they don't teach these because not many people write checks anymore, and not many people actually put something in the mail. I'm like, this is a very intelligent girl that is going to the University of Oregon on a scholarship for academics. And she doesn't know how to fill out a check or an envelope and put it in the mail.
Not for nothing, but when you graduate high school at 18, if you are lucky enough and you did earn your way into college, you're about to accrue an ass load of debt. So maybe, you know, there's a couple weeks in there of how to manage your student debt and how to work on that, how to make it easier for you in the long run. Anyways, texts from the one from the 530. What I want in the NBA and NFL is to have a legitimate farm system. and expanded rosters. Too many late-season NFL games are decided by guys on the couch right now.
Yep.
And that's from Brandon. Good text, Brandon. From the 415 Bay Area checking in. The NFL is more popular than baseball, hockey, and the NBA combined. The cap ensures that teams like Green Bay and Seattle can compete with New York and Chicago. And I'm not indifferent to that. And there's more. The parity in the NFL is fantastic. I'm not saying you take away the cap. At least I'm not.
Part of the thing that makes the parity be so fantastic in the NFL is injuries, which goes back to the original conversation of the healthcare costs long term.
Guarantee the contract and figure out a way to give the retired players some sort of healthcare. It's not too hard. And I think it should be said before we get off of this, the NBA Players Association has done nothing but be very, very strong. There is a looming labor dispute as the players, they can opt out of the CBA. I believe it's next summer. And I expect that there will probably be a labor dispute. And one of the big reasons, we should recognize this. Now, we've seen interviews all over the place with Chris Paul, and that's good. And Chris Paul, who's the president of the Players Association. But I think what's getting lost a little bit in the shuffle here is that we forget that not that long ago we were dealing with the absolute corrupt situation involving Billy Hunter, who was the executive director. Mm-hmm. Michelle Roberts took over. Oh my God, here's a woman.
She is the HMFIC.
She is awesome. She's awesome, and she's come in, and you don't ever hear from her. You don't ever see her. Now, and I say that because I saw her doing an interview earlier, so you rarely hear from her. But what she, I think, has done, most of it behind the scenes with no fanfare, has organized that Players Association, taught, that's condescending. She's helped work with.
I think it took a lot of education to understand why this was a good move for them.
She's worked with the players, and she's putting them out front, but don't be fooled for a second to think, and I don't think this is taking credit away from the players, that Michelle Roberts is behind them, supporting them, working with them, and helping them to do this type of stuff, which is why I think the NBA Players Association now all of a sudden is arguably as strong or stronger than it ever, ever, ever has been. So I'm just saying kudos to her. That's something you're not going to read in every article.
So someone's asking me on Twitter, like, do the NBA owners step up and contribute to the healthcare costs? Where is this money coming from? That's the one thing.
It says it's going to be funded by the Players Association.
So it's funded by the Players Association. So you pay dues as a player.
Yes.
So do you think that owners should contribute?
Yes, I do. I do. I think so. And listen, I'm all for.
Don't be surprised if that's part of the next.
I think so.
Well, and you look at the number of fines that they levy against players, and all the fines and whatnot go into charities. It's donated to different charities. And where I think that's really important, but maybe part of the fines, a percentage of them go to this fund for healthcare. There's a number of.
Right.
Completely agree. I agree. I'm all for. I'm one of the few, I think, in this world that I think predominantly everybody sides with players, and I get it. But I do honestly, I'm okay with owners making a lot of money. I really am. I'm okay with owners running the business and making a lot of money. I believe both the owners and the players need each other equally. I think it is an equal relationship, not one over the other. So I'm fine with owners making money. But in this case, when you're talking about taking care of your players, take care of your players. And if that means you're making a little less money, I know it's easy for me to say. If the three of us in this room, or 99.9% of everybody listening right now, if I were to say to you, make a little less money. Well, a little less money is XYZ less things with your kids or jackets or going on your family vacation to Disneyland. When you're talking about their level, and I know I'm sounding dangerously
I don't want whatever here,
but come on. If it's difference between a billion and 900 million, are we?
I don't want to get too crazy here because, again, I think this is a really, really good thing and it's important. I think it's something that the league should do. But if you take it like on a larger scope, talk about, you know, our veterans for the United States military and healthcare for them and improving. I mean, I think when anybody, it's like, yeah, we're like, yeah, they go out there, they perform, they have a lot of problems that happen. Well, yeah, so do our military. And I don't know. I'm so torn in so many different ways because I think it's a great thing, in terms of the responsibility that the league has.
Sure.
And then I look at bigger issues and I'm like, well, you know what? We should have a responsibility to our military veterans and look how well we're doing that.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. And for the guy out there, there is saying stop comparing NFL players to the veterans. That's not exactly what
that's
you're
not
doing
what I'm doing. I'm
all.
Not comparing them. I'm just saying on a larger scope. Yes, I think that we have responsibilities, and whether it's from our government to our military veterans, from our billion-dollar pro sports owners and leagues that should also support the people that have gone out there and performed for them and made them a bunch of money, because the veterans go and fight wars for us. They protect our countries and our freedoms. These guys go out on a field or a basketball court and they make money for billionaires.
Yeah, they entertain us.
Yes.
They're entertainers. And really, here's the thing. The owners don't do it because they don't have to.
Yeah.
And that's where the union needs to step in. The owners don't do it because, quite frankly, they just don't have to. And you're often not going to see guys. A lot of the reason why guys are rich is they know how to hold on to their money. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see them going, you know what? Let's just go ahead and do this just for the heck of it. You got to kick them in the ass. Colin Kaepernick is healthy just in time for his face-off with Blaine Gabbert for the first time since then.
Is it going to be like that awesome Travolta movie?
Yes. I hope so.
That'd be great.
I hated that movie
so
much.
It's so stupid.
That is one of the dumbest movies.
Worst ideas.
Face Off is one of the dumbest, most suspend logic movies in history.
You see, because they swapped faces.
So it's
faces,
okay that I haven't seen that one.
That's fine.
That's not going to be on our list.
Literally,
for the studio
took
movie
his face off.
Yeah. No, I saw the trailer and decided, you know what? I'm not wasting 2 hours of my life on that.
Kaepernick received medical clearance for the first time since undergoing three surgeries.
Three.
So he needs further, The Niners are going to look at him and all that, but hey, there you go.
From what we've heard, it is kind of like that movie Face Off, where Blaine Gabbert is the what Colin Kaepernick used to be, apparently, right?
Serviceable?
I guess. Apparently, yeah. Blaine Gabbert, he's not sneaky athletic, guys. He's real athletic. Blaine Gabbert's big, strong, he's athletic, and he can throw the ball hard.
Well, here's what's interesting, and maybe it's not interesting. It's just interesting to me, and I'm sure we'll
be the judge of that.
I'm not
or
the
are
first.
Are you just
or,
prefacing your thought with that?
Well, I'm just saying I'm not the first or the last guy to bring this up. I imagine you'll hear a lot more from this and about this, but the Los Angeles Rams released Nick Foles yesterday. Nick Foles, who was traded for Sam Bradford, and that didn't work out, and he reduced a little bit of his guaranteed money in order for him to see you later. Foles signed a 2-year, $24.5 million extension in the last offseason, $13.8 million in guarantees. The issue is he started the first 9 games, but was benched for Case Keenum after throwing only 7 touchdowns with 6 interceptions and 5 fumbles during a 4-5 start.
I think it's important also to mention in this story, he asked for the release.
Yes, he
correct?
Did. Yes, he
yeah.
did.
So they granted
because
his
they
request.
Drafted Jared Goff yes. in the offseason and did that whole thing. So here's my thing. The Niners quarterback situation could be surprisingly good. Who knows? But I don't think anybody's too excited about this Kaepernick versus Gabbert thing. Nick Foles' best year by far came under Chip Kelly, who is now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. If you're the 49ers, do you take a look at Nick Foles?
No.
All right, we'll be right back.
Because, oh,
yeah. Whoops, we got to.
No. Why?
Not just because he's Nick Foles, but let's remember that Chip Kelly thought so highly of this guy that had a career year for him that he traded him for Sam Bradford.
Good point right there. So you're
let's
saying,
sit on that for
yeah.
a second.
Let's let that marinate. We'll be back.
The Broncos have already said,
sorry,
by the
way.
Sorry,
I blew
way. Your
tease.
No.
Amateur move.
No, the tease is that we've
don't
got.
Worry, I do it all the time, and I don't let it affect me.
Oh, she does it all. Yeah, exactly. Dave Scretta is going to join us next from the AP. He covers the Chiefs. Also, the Broncos have said they're not going to look at Nick Foles at all. That's another place where you might think he might fit in, where they have an open quarterback spot. But so maybe that tells you something right there. When the Broncos say, you know what, we got Mark Sanchez, we're good, that might be a thing as well. Dave Scretta next. We continue through the AFC West with the Chiefs next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.